Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com.
Hello, IMFSP Radio listeners, wherever this finds you today. My name is Robert Bruce, and I am here again with the founder and CEO of Copyblogger Media, Brian Clark. Brian, what's going on down south today?
Not too bad. A little cold, but clear. Good, decent weather. Not rainy and slushy. Just trying to make it through the winter without catching the flu. We do have an outbreak of biological warfare going on, otherwise known as school-age children that I have. And I want to make sure that they stay healthy, and so do I.
That's a bit of a perpetual battle, right?
It is this time of year because, you know, no matter how well you keep them happy, healthy, you know, they go to school and their little friends are all slinging snot all over the place. So it's always fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a great time. I am going to, I've got a big question today. Something that we're going to talk about headlines, and some folks out there might think, oh, again, or why are we doing this, you know, over and over? Why do we hit this over and over? And I have to admit something. I've got a confession to make that this, it took me a long time to understand the power of headlines. And then I'm still figuring out, of course, and got a long way to go on how to write effective headlines. You know, I'm the type where I want to write the tricky, you know, interesting thing that works for me, that I like, that I enjoy, you know, for a headline, whether it's a blog post, email, whatever. But, you know, that doesn't really work.
Well, you're right. I mean, it can, in the sense that you get to the point where you're just so in tune with your audience, and that's the key. Like, what you think is perfect is also perfect for them, but it either takes a long time for that to happen, or especially if you're a writer and they're not, it may never happen. But I do understand that you and Sonia have this thing going on where you try to see if you can get something published without me editing the headline.
Yeah, that's right. Without just, you know, hitting publish at midnight on Copyblogger. But yes, we do. We have a contest. We need to make it official somehow of, you know, I think I'm batting zero, actually. But how many headlines we can pass through you without some kind of input there?
Well, Sonia went like a year batting zero, and now her average is way up there. So yeah. It happens. I'm not completely relentless. In fact, I love to look at a headline and go, yeah, I'm going to go do something else now.
Yeah, this is it's an interesting thing because I think for me anyway, and hopefully therefore for a lot of people out there, you don't really get how important this is. And you pointed me to a great quote from David Ogilvy. Which is, he says, on the average, five times as many people read the headline as read the body copy. When you've written your headline, you have spent 80 cents out of your dollar. Is that hyperbole?
Absolutely not. And that was, what, in the 60s? And I love it when people go, oh, well, that's old. That has no relevance to today. And I'm like, you're right. Now it's worse because our attention is strained that much more exponentially. But I actually took that quote and combined it with some other data I'd seen to come up with what I call the 80-20 rule of headlines. But yeah, it kind of tracks what Ogilvy said, that once someone reads your headline, you've spent 80 cents out of your dollar, because most of those people will stop right there. They will not continue. And if you're really getting a return on the money you do spend, for example, if you are paying someone to write a headline, is how many of those people actually go on and continue reading, which we've hit on over and over, which is the purpose of the headline ultimately is to get someone to read the first sentence and keep going, you know, down the slope. But yeah, it can be really discouraging And it's even worse these days with email and RSS readers and Twitter. You know, people are scanning down and they'll actually read what's there, but the odds of them stopping and clicking or proceeding, very low percentage otherwise. And the whole thing about writing better headlines is getting more people to stop and come by or to read.
Okay, so we're going to go, you know, we can go into more why this is important a little later, but let's get into some practical tips and ideas here about what makes a good headline. And we're going to include, along with headlines, subheads is a similar, you can explain a little bit about that later, but subheads is a similar issue. And then bullet points even, we can bring into this. But what should a really great, effective headline, subhead, and bullet list do?
Okay, so before I actually answer that question, I just want to proceed it with an appropriate investment in time. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you all these things, and you're gonna go, well, that's a lot of things to think about, and that takes time, and you're right. But you got to think about it this way: your average copywriter. And again, this dates back in time to Ogilvy's days to today. But, you know, if you're writing a sales page or an opt-in landing page or something like that where you really need to have a high conversion rate, usually you'll spend like half the time for the entire piece coming up with the headline. And that can mean writing several different headlines and then choosing, you know, from that list and going from there. And more often, it's once you choose one to go with, you're constantly tweaking it. For example, another great Ogilvy story is he wrote this awesome headline for Rolls-Royce. I think it was, at 60 miles an hour, the only thing you hear in the new Rolls-Royce is the ticking of the dashboard clock. And that was a home run ad back then. And he rewrote that headline 104 times. So let's lead off with that. I don't think, you know, for the average blog post or article that you have to spend literally 50% of the time on the title, especially once you get better at it, it doesn't take as long. But you do have to spend time thinking about it and actually caring. And that, again, that just takes time and effort. Can't get around that. So you were asking me, you want some tips then, huh?
Yeah, just a few, just a handful.
Well, there's always been, and again, honestly, guys, you know, if you do this long enough, you just get good at it. You don't think about elements or anything. You just know, especially, well, you're never 100% sure. No one's ever sure. I've written headlines that I thought were good that didn't do well, and I've seen headlines that I didn't think would do well that did great. But most of the time, this is like a batting percentage here, right?
You know, you're science. Just,
exactly. You're trying to get a good batting average as opposed to striking out all the time, because you're never gonna hit it over the fence every time. Hmm. But yeah, when I first started out, I found this thing called the 4U approach, and this is taught by the people over at AWAI. I don't know if they made it up or if it came from someone else. It's always hard to tell with copywriting, because everyone builds on everyone else over time and adapts and modifies and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's called the 4U approach. And it's basically, the 4 U's are useful, urgent, unique, and ultra specific. So let me unpack those just a little bit for you. Number one, be useful to the reader. That goes back to my number one catch statement for headlines, which is it's a compelling promise to the reader, right? It's, you know, what are they going to invest their valuable time in as they're scanning their inbox or their feed reader or Twitter or wherever the environment is? I can guarantee you it's cluttered. So rule number one, it's got to be useful. It's got to promise something of value to the reader in return for their valuable attention. Okay. Rule number one, can't get around that.
Okay. And this applies to any kind of industry, any kind of thing that a person might be doing. Because I'm thinking specifically of, well, not everything's useful. Not everything is a how-to, right?
No.
But it can be applied.
Yeah. But I mean, useful, that's a very narrow thing. Yeah, and I get where you're coming from, but that's a very narrow reading of the word useful. So, yeah, in a kind of, let's say, business-to-business, business-to-consumer sense, it's a solution, right?
Yep.
You know, that's how fixing problems is how everything's always gauged. And I think we talked about it last week that can throw people off. But, you know, when I'm in the mood to laugh, what's useful to me is something funny. When I'm in the mood to be motivated, what's useful to me is something inspiring. I mean, I understand that we have a tendency, and I run up this against this all the time with people, that they read into a narrow definition of the world. And this is an expansive use of the word useful.
Yep. I like that. All right.
Next step. Okay. So useful is just baseline. That's like, you're not getting, you know, an invitation to the ball. You're not getting the glass slipper at all if you're not useful. But that's not enough, because again, remember the environment which they're being exposed to your headline. So there's got to be some sense of urgency here, and that urgency can work two different ways. Also, now that we're trying to make sure we're not too narrow, you got to get someone to click then, right? Because if they say, "Oh, I'll come back to that later," you know what? They don't. I mean, even if you tell yourself you're going to, odds are it won't happen. So you want them to say, "That's useful, and I got to go ahead and read that now instead of later." So that could be an urgency. In typical copywriting sense, urgency is about missing out on something. But in an information age, we know we're not missing out. We know it's going to be there, right, from a content marketing standpoint or something. So it's not – it's got to be so useful that it has a potential impact that needs to be paid attention to immediately. The flip side of that can be an example of why list posts are so popular, because the number combined with the useful promise says, I have time for that. I can digest that now. That's one of the primary psychological drivers why – love them or hate them, the list post, the list article, the numbered headline will never go away. On one hand, it demonstrates value if the number is high. On the other hand, it says, hey, that's quantifiable and manageable. I can do that. Therefore, it increases the urgency to go ahead and read it now.
And I've spent the time, done the work to cut all the fat, so to speak, out for you.
Yes.
Yeah. And here we could get into a couple of things with urgency, but maybe this is we want a more narrow definition of this. Obviously, we're not talking about creating, you know, any kind of false sense of you've got to have this now. But partly, isn't it all of this, of course, is assuming that we're talking to the right people?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, one headline that's useful and urgent to the people you're after is completely worthless to other people. And that's what you want. We keep coming back to that theme. But if it's really useful and urgent, and we'll get into the other things and it'll become even more clear. If it's really these things, then by definition, it is useless to people who aren't the people you're trying to reach. So keep that in mind. You can't play to the crowd. You can't play the field. You can't water it down. This rule applies in so many areas of life, but it definitely applies in headlines and the content that you deliver the promise with. But let me give you some more examples about urgency, because I understand it's got to be urgent, but what does that mean? Okay, on one hand, here's something that prompts urgency. Does the headline trigger a strong, actionable type emotion? You know, going back to worldviews and frames, is this something they believe? Does it either confirm it, challenge it, you know, anything that says, I've got to read that now because I'm heavily emotionally invested in the outcome of this, right? And it seems weird to talk about that from a content standpoint. But then again, you see every day online how people react so strongly to everything, whether it be the president's State of the Union address or a productivity list post on Zen habits. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. okay, so emotion, you know, that creates a sense of urgency always. And, we've said before that invoking an emotion is the beginning of engagement. So it definitely helps to be in the headline period, but it also creates that urgency. You know, the flip side of that, which I kind of touched on, is it something that they see and they're instantly kind of nodding their head with it going, that's right, they're talking to me. Again, that's an emotional response too, but it's one of affirmation. And they're going to go over there to have their beliefs and worldviews affirmed.
Let's get to number three of the four U's.
All right. So it's got to be useful. You know, you're offering a reward for attention. It's got to be urgent so that they present you with that attention right away. And this is really coupled with the first two, but it is a unique element in that somehow what you're presenting in an urgent, useful manner has to be unique. And again, that tends to lead towards the curiosity side of things, which again is that strong kill the cat type thing that I've got to go read that now, because what exactly is he saying here? You get what the topic is, but you're not sure exactly how it's going to be spun, or there's an element that's contradictory, or there's an element that's novel and new. You know, from a psychological standpoint, that we crave novelty. I mean, that's what we operate off of. So you've got to have some aspect of uniqueness in that headline. And usually it's uniqueness that separates a run-of-the-mill good headline from a one that knocks it out of the park.
And this is uniqueness. I mean, so the person, a person would really have to do some background work in this, because it is related specifically, you're talking to the main benefit of the product or service.
In the sales context, or the substance of the content, if it's an article or a blog post. So it comes back to subject matter expertise and authority, right? If you know what you're talking about, you know things that everyone else doesn't, right? And that's where you shine. That's how you attract a higher percentage of readership with your headline, because there's that amazing little thing that you've turned into a hook or an angle in your headline that it kind of accentuates the usefulness and the urgency. And again, that's why the uniqueness is a complementary factor to all three of the other remaining elements. And yet it's so important for a great headline that it has to stand alone.
Okay, so you've got to be useful. You've got to provide a sense of urgency within the headline. It has to be present an idea, whether that be the idea of what you're writing about or a product or service that is entirely unique. What's the final thing here?
The final thing is specificity, and to make it a U, they call it ultra specificity. But I think that's not too contrived. I think ultra specific is more specific than just specific, because the specificity of language is something that, again, cuts through the clutter. It makes the promise more vivid, more real, more credible. You know, do you ever see something that's kind of a waffly general thing and you're just like, that could be good or it might not be, so I'm not sure, right? Yeah. That kills you right there. That will kill your click-throughs right there. That'll kill your overall readership, because you haven't removed the doubt that what you're talking about is this, and it is useful, and therefore it becomes urgent, you know, a great example. Again, going back to the list post, that's also a function of ultra specific. It's not some ways how to do X, it's seven ways how to do X, or seven new ways to save money on vacation, to use a more specific example. And you could get even more specific than that, such as seven ways to save 232% on your next European vacation. That kind of stuff just knocks it out of the park, because how credible is that promise? As long as you deliver on it, right? You need to be ultra specific, because that's what people want and they'll crave, and that creates that urgency. It's unique in that people can't make those kind of promises generally, right? That's why it works. And that the only caveat at that point, which is beyond these rules of great, the number one rule beyond write great headlines is deliver 110% on your promise in that headline. And that's what it really comes down to. You'll hear a lot of criticism from people who say, yeah, I just got tired of being sucked in by these great headlines and then the content was crap.
Yep.
I totally relate to that. You know, a great headline that doesn't deliver with the content, you did worse than not getting enough people to read. What you did was just ruin your reputation.
What about the other side of that coin? You also hear the complaint that the use of these kinds of things strips all aesthetic from writing. Like, oh, here we go, another how-to post or another list post or another this. You hear that quite a bit. But in my mind, it really is a thing of, well, you are actually doing your reader a favor by writing a useful, urgent, unique, and specific headline. Is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, and this goes back again to the five-year battle I've waged to get people. And it's always audience and context specific. So they'll see,
yeah,
you know, a certain type of headline on a place like Zen Habits. And they're like, well, I could never write a headline that like that for my audience. No, but the fundamentals of why that headline worked applied in the context of your audience will work. And that's what people don't get. They think a great headline has to be something that is offensive to me and my audience. No, by definition, if it's offensive to your audience, then it's not a great headline. But the fundamentals, the fact that human brains crave value and novelty and ultra-specific language, right? Those don't change. I don't care who you are.
And I think it's interesting to point out, Copyblogger, what you have done since the very beginning is teach this stuff by doing it to people. You're explaining how to do something, but you're also doing it to them as you're writing, and then the person is reading the article. So it's very, it's sometimes not so clear. Somebody could look at Copyblogger and take it word for word and try to apply that, just, you know, stamp it down like a sticker onto their own site or onto their own stuff that they're doing. When that's not the point, you're doing something very specific. But like you said, somebody else with another audience is either can do or is doing the same thing, just but it's going to look very differently. These principles apply, and some folks out there go after, you know, these copywriting principles, yet they're using the very principles in another way.
Oh, of course. And either they're clueless or they're very crafty. You know, everyone's got an angle. But, you know, I ran into trouble early on. You know, I wrote a 11-part series on headlines. That's one of the most popular pages on Copyblogger, called Magnetic Headlines. And several of those posts have these kind of headline templates based on headlines that worked really well in the past. And I only did it to say, here's why it works. Here are the principles behind it. And then, you know, a short time later, you saw people using them so badly in the wrong context, you know, just like Mad Libs, right?
Yep, copy and paste.
Right. So I ended up writing a follow-up to that called Warning, Use These Five Headline Templates at Your Own Risk. And I really hammered it home, even though I thought I had the last couple times, which is, don't just fill in the blanks with keywords. You know, you have to understand how this works or you're not going anywhere. But there are people out there who want the quick fix, and then they just don't realize that's not going to work.
All right. So useful, urgent, unique, ultra specific, starting to get the idea of this 50-50 thing. All of this applied specifically to the headline only. We can see where a lot of time can be spent writing and working on our headlines. But
all I can tell you is, just like with Sonia, the more you do it, the better you get at it, you know, and the less likely I am to change your headline.
That's a new copy blogger service, maybe.
One thing I do want to point out is that, okay, so last week we talked about how we've got this landing page software called Premise coming out, and that we're doing additional kind of high value tutorials and whatnot for people on the Internet Marketing for Smart People list. The first one actually went out yesterday and seems to have been received well. But we're actually going to do something really special with the Premise copywriting software. It's not enough to build pages if you don't know how to write the words, right? You don't understand the copy and you don't understand conversion optimization and all that scary stuff, which isn't really that scary. So we're including a lot of education with the software in order to show people what to do and that it's not that bad and it's actually very powerful. One of those pieces of education is a webinar that Jeff Sexton, who's a very talented young copywriter, and myself put together on headlines. And it's really great. And Jeff really took the lead on it. He covered for me when I couldn't make last year's conversion conference. So he took my spot and went in and did this incredible presentation using copyblogger headlines and dissected everything behind them, like what we try to do, which is take you behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. And it was a really great presentation. So we've recreated that as a webinar. And this is supposed to be part of what you get when you buy Premise. But as a demonstration of some of the education that we're going to be putting out, we've decided to give this headline webinar before we launch Premise for free. So it's, I think we're going to call it Magnetic Headlines Intensive. And that's truly what it is. It's really in depth. It's even got an accompanying manual that goes with it on headline writing. It's really the master's course in headline writing. And it's going to be free. But you got to be on the Internet Marketing for Smart People list to get it. And we've also got some other landing page copywriting tips and stuff like that still coming. So, as always, hop on the list. You get a 20-part course. You know, that's standard. But we're really adding some really cool stuff for our subscribers before we get to the launch of Premise.
Yeah, and that is all wrapped up nicely in a little email for you. It's brought out over the course of weeks, but if you go to copyblogger.com, sign up's really easy. In the right sidebar, you're going to see a banner for Premise. Click that, takes you over to the Premise site. You can drop your email. That is the Internet Marketing for Smart People course sign up there. So you can sign up by email there and get everything Brian was just talking about.
Yeah, and you can also, there'll be a link in the post, as always, for this very podcast. So yes. One way or another, you'll get there.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Brian, thanks for taking us through headlines today. And have a great week, man. Feel better, would you?
Yeah, I feel good so far, but I'm going into quarantine until next week. And we'll see you then. But thanks, Robert, and thanks, everyone out there.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From Copyblogger.com.